Turn to Deuteronomy 1, and I was having a quiet time that don't happen too often when I'm not holding still. I was playing songs, and this was probably a couple of years ago. And as I was going through a chord progression and singing a song, Yahweh starts communicating a whole story to me, and I'm like seeing it. And I envisioned a little bitty 2-year-old Yehoshua. He's got really long hair. I don't know why. He had long hair, and he's playing, and he looks up and goes, "Daddy, I can climb a tree." He's in a tree, and you just see this little kid looking up to his dad and talking to him. He's getting a little bit bigger and bigger, and I was like, "I never thought about that." And how tender. And Yahweh would have been there the whole time. Just think about a father and a son. And you can see, you ever seen where a father has a child on their shoulders and they carry him? The little kid's on top.
What chapter and verse
one
did you say?
That was me.
It was something really tender. I was really grateful for that communication.
Yeah.
And when somebody would read verse 31, anyone? Mom?
Yahweh, you said 31.
"Also in the desert, which thou hast seen, where Yahweh thy Elohim carried thee, as a man carrieth his son, throughout all the way that ye journeyed until ye entered as far as this place." Yahweh, they just got done 40 years in the wilderness. And it's, "I put you on my shoulders, and here you are." And what's really neat about the beginning of Deuteronomy is, I guess, there's another thing. I'm going to go to Veronica's birds in the backyard. So you get to see these birds eating, and you get to witness all the stuff. And something very unusual is you'll see these sparrows with their babies, same size babies that can fly, but the mom and the dad have to put food in their mouth. The babies can fly, but they can't pick food up off the ground. And it's kind of like, there's lessons in all this. I'm going, how do you fly? You can't put food in your mouth. Then I thought John Shane had said, Yahweh feeds the birds of the heaven, but he doesn't put the food in their mouth. And I went, but the children, they are. But then there's a time that the parents are going to say, no more. And these birds will get kicked out of the nest too. And the beginning of Deuteronomy, kind of thinking about a father a child on a father's shoulder, a mother and father, you'll say, eventually you're going to start growing up. You're going to start helping out around here. Because the purpose of the child's life is not to be orbited. It's actually to be a servant to the parents, and then and the biggest one is to Yahweh and Christ. And Deuteronomy 1, as I'm reading it, and I could hear Richard Dreyfuss' voice from Word of Promise kind of going through it. It's a recap, all the beginning of Deuteronomy 1. And a transition is going to happen in verse 21. I'll start at verse 20. So this is going to be a transition coming out of Egypt. You guys are nothing. Right? Yahweh chose you. "Then said I unto you, ye are come in as far as the whole country of the Amorites, which Yahweh our Elohim is giving to us. See thou, Yahweh thy Elohim has set before thee the land. Go up, take possession, as Yahweh thy Elohim of thy fathers hath spoken unto thee. Do not fear, neither be dismayed." And as I'm reading it, I got a communication that I've never had before. Okay. What's the difference between the land of Canaan and Egypt? What did they have to do with the land of Egypt?
Everything. The land of Egypt, they had to work.
During the war, their deliverance, they had to do hardly anything. They just watched their dad fight. They did do, and there are certain things, you better do what he says. But how many people got their hands dirty with the war with Egypt? This time, you're going to get your hands dirty. You're going to get bloody this time. And so, and you can see here's a father going, It's time to grow up. It's time to grow up, and it's easy for me to pick on Israel. But the purpose of what I want to kind of emphasize here is for all of us. Every one of us has something we're not doing. And the Apostle Paul said, I want to know Christ, the fellowship of his suffering. And he was just, Paul's at a whole other level. But if you really want to get good at something, you ask somebody, where are my weaknesses? And you go to Yahweh. And that would be in business. It can be difficult sometimes in relationships, but it could be, where do I need to grow up? What transition do I have? Because Yahweh shares these things, not just for us to learn, but we should apply it to us and say, how many things has he done that for me? Where he just took care of a whole battle, and I didn't have to do anything, and somebody got healed. I should be ready to level that thing up. Next time, I'll be ready to be the one that gets the hands dirty, to be a David, to do whatever you want. Because Yahweh wants servants. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 17. It's a transitioning, a refining of children. And the Apostle Paul says, I can't talk to you guys, you're babes. And anybody who can't talk about scriptures and compare scripture to the scriptures, when they do this, I don't want to look at scriptures. You're a babe. Paul's like, I'd love to talk to you about things. It's okay to disagree, but you say, here's this. How do you? What about that? What about this? And this is people trying to figure things out. And Paul couldn't do it. And he's like, you guys need to grow up. I should be teaching you. You guys should be teachers. And you don't even know anything. What does that mean? I don't know. But what am I? Where am I a babe? And me compared to Christ, be like, okay, because there's certain things in my own life, in all of our lives, that we should say, what area of my life should I be working on? Now, everybody, whenever you're bodybuilding or something, everybody wants to work on their strength. To work on your weakness, that's frustrating. But what does Yahweh do with most of his leaders? He calls the weak. He calls the one who can't speak to be Moses. And to a lot of people, if you ask a person to do public speaking, and that's their biggest phobia, they would say, you are inhumane. But a lot of times, that's Yahweh going, grow up. This is your thing. Today, I'm burning legal paperwork for the first time instead of shredding it. And I look at it, and I got to see the test I took. And so I didn't know I was going to go into the business I was. I knew Yahweh was wanting me. I kind of wanted to go another way, so my heart wasn't 100% into it. But I got to see my test score. I got a 71%. I passed by 1%. That's by the skin of your teeth. Here's a business of 23 years. Of success that only Yahweh can take credit for by somebody who barely got in. And I'm like, wow, Donald Trump saw my resume. He wouldn't even talk to me. What kind of grades do you got? And I look at that and I went, as I'm sitting there going, and he would use me to become successful at this. And he's showing himself strong. I think about my father. Now, he's really good at tests. Really good at tests. Not like me. But to be in 100% sales and commissions. I said, that's Uncle Tom. He's the salesman. I walk up, talk to people. But what is Yahweh doing? He's looking for weak things to show himself strong, not just in big things, but in our own lives. I had surgery on my shoulder, and so now I'm trying to shave with my left arm, and I get really frustrated. But I'm like, no, you need to exercise this. Exercise a weakness. Be disciplined. Well, what's the point? The point is, practice discipline so you can boost up your resume so you can serve. And with whatever your weakness is. Jeremiah 17, verse 10, if somebody would read that for me.
I, Yahweh, searching the heart, testing the affections, and giving to every man according to his way, according to the fruit of his doings.
Right now, he is looking at our hearts. Right now, he is testing our affections. This is what I want for you, Israel. Go in there and go kill those bad guys. And you'll be very rich and wealthy. You went from slaves to a luxury cruise for 40 years on my shoulders. Now it's time to get to work. Break's over, and they turned it down, except for Caleb and Yehoshua. And okay, but lessons. How many times have we turned him down? We were supposed to be the one to lead in that area, whatever area, and that leading could be with me, shut your mouth, be quiet. Speaking comes very easy. But okay, what areas have I missed it? If I missed the land of promise in certain areas of our lives to get a little bit better, getting better. Why? Because this whole thing's being recorded. And all of this, it says in 1 Corinthians 3, is going to go through a fire. I just got to witness to somebody, and he is rebellious. He refuses to look at scriptures. And then he said something to me, and I went back to him. I go, I want you to confront me if I'm wrong, especially in the scriptures, you know, because I'm going to go through the fire one day. And the refining fire in front of Christ, if I have 45 scriptures to validate why and it still gets burnt up, at least I can justify it. I was deceived. I really thought that was true, but if I'd never looked. Now, some Polynesian living or an indigenous person in the Amazonian jungle, okay, what access did they have to the scriptures and internet? They had nothing. Yahweh's going to know. And they'll be judged a different way. Yahweh judges everybody according to he sees everything. And so in this case, he's searching all of our hearts and he's going, I can get more out of him. And you know what? He wants more. And he goes, he wants more, and he's testing. He's refining us. Turn to Judges 7. I was like, thinking back to when I was a babe in Christ, or a real babe, not a teenager, and probably a lot of my 20s, I was a mess. But I thought about how many times we'd go to a big Christian reunion type thing, maybe once a year, and I'd get rejuvenated. It would take 3 days. First day, I know I need to be here. Hey, how you doing? I'm acting like I like people that I don't like. They annoy me. Second day, I start getting healed. Going, okay, maybe you guys have this with the Rock of Ages. By the third day, okay, now I'm getting fixed. Now I'm ready to go. And one of the reasons why I didn't want to go to churches or teachings, I never said this, because I knew I was going to get corrected or asked to do something I didn't want to do. And you know what? There's truth to it. Because he's going to ask us to do things we don't want to do. But we have to go, that's true? Yes, there is a lot of truth to that. And he's going to ask you to give stuff up. Well, that's why I don't go to church. What kind of Elohim is this? He will reward us and give us the desires of our heart. If we put him first, he'll give you whatever your affection is. So we should be looking at a treasure chest daily. What is something that you would do almost anything for? I remember there was this guy just recently, he said that what got him into the Word, he was a military guy, a special forces, one guy said, if you're not willing to die for something, you don't really have a reason to live. And a guy kind of thought about that, and he's ready to die for his country, but it's not the same thing. Some of these Christians he was with, they would die. I mean, this is not like you got sent to this, you got ordered to go to Okinawa, that these guys had this conviction that they are ready to die. And he goes, what is that? That they got something that I don't have. And that's us being a living a testimony of this, going off track. Judges chapter 7. Read verse 2. I'm just going to kind of glean. So we all know about Gideon and Yahweh using this guy. In verse 2, and Yahweh said unto Gideon, right now there's 32,000 Israelites, and they're going to fight 135,000 Midianites in the mixed multitude. That's, I think it's 7, I forgot what those odds are. Not good. But in verse 2, and Yahweh said unto Gideon, too many. At church just this week, the guys shared a little bit on Gideon, and what Yahweh was communicating with me is, I don't have men. What do you have? I got money. Wealth. Okay. And it could be, he's going to say, what will you not give me? What makes you really comfortable? Because if you're Gideon, and well, I love, my dad did a teaching, some people call Gideon a coward, so they're going to be, you're going to be judged for calling them a coward. You know that? This is Yahweh's heroes, every word. But my dad was saying Gideon was hesitant because people are going to die. There, women, children, all these things, and this guy, he's a general, he's gonna go, you don't do this. And here's Gideon, what's the one thing he cannot spare when it's 32,135, it's men.
The people.
The one thing. Yahweh goes, there's too many, and then it goes down in verse 4, Yahweh said, yet are the people too many, and then we'll go down to verse 6, and so it was, that the number of them that lapped with their hands to their mouth was 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down on their knees to drink water. Then said Yahweh unto Gideon, by these 300 men that lapped, I will save you. And as we read that at church, I got a cool communication that Yahweh to Christ saying, here's Yahweh. He said, by these 300 men, we're going to get Midian. And through his own son, by these 12 men, we're going to turn the world upside down. 12. That's it. And it's going to be 11. That's all I need. And then I'm all of a sudden like, wow, this proving, this calling out. And John 6, verse 66, Christ is told to start speaking in his parables and people leave him. And there's nobody left. Well, wait a minute. That would be very confusing if you're a disciple and you think he's going to return. We can't afford this. I just need the 12. Well, think about it, refining. Because if you go back up to verse chapter 4, then said Yahweh unto Gideon, yet are the people too many, take them down to the waters that I may prove them. Do you see that footnote, prove?
Mm-hmm.
What's it say?
I can't.
The footnote.
Yeah. Smelt, refine, assay.
So the, Yahweh says, take these men down the river, that I may refine them. My wife did it. She shared with me one time. She goes, everybody loves gold, but nobody ever wants to go through the process of gold. Gold, you got to bust rocks up, and then you got to smash it down, and then you got to separate it, and then you got to put it in acid, then you pull it out, and then you refine it. It's hot, and this, and the refining, it's a lot of hard work. And here's Yahweh refining men. And I wonder how many people in our life he's trying to refine us from. We got to get rid of these people. We gotta call you away. I gotta refine you and purify you. These are my dreams for you. And how many times in my own life I wouldn't let him do that. My biggest weakness was people. No, I'm the one that's gonna save these people was always my justification. But as I was also considering that, I also started reflecting, going, here's Abraham and Sarah. You guys, that's all I need. Come on. And here he is. I'm gonna turn the world upside down with you guys. It's gonna be great. Then there's the 12. So I wanted to keep it kind of short, but also there's another thing with it about a refining process that all of us should be able to go and say, Father, Lord, I might not be able to agree to it, but I can at least hear you out. And where I'm weak and I got something in my life, I'm not going to let go. I'm so scared. I don't think anybody in here is going to be malicious. It's probably fear, but at least bring it up to me. And that's actually how I met my wife. I was like, when I got called to walk up to the top of a mountain, and sudden dread, in Genesis, it talked about when Abraham does these sacrifices, this sudden darkness just comes. I'm like, what's that all about? And talk about Yahweh being in a deep darkness too. There's a thing about it. And that's what I had when Yahweh called me to the top of the mountain. And all of a sudden I had this communication. It did not come to me by deductive reasoning. I'm sitting enjoying a vacation, and he's going to ask you to leave the United States and live in Iceland. If you're living out of fellowship, random things happen like that because your old man does crazy, stupid things, right? All of a sudden, what's that? I rebuke that. But it didn't come like that. And I'm like, live in Iceland? I don't even have a visa. give up my business, but it was there. It was there, and I knew it, and I didn't have to communicate to anything. And the waitress tells me, if you walk up there at night, you're going to die, and they won't find your body. And then she turns around and walks off. I told her I was going to walk to the top. And so I'm like, so what am I going to do? Am I going to tell him who has given me everything? No? You think you're going to get to keep everything that he's given to you if you say no? Mm-hmm. That'd be stupid. And all of a sudden, all this deductive reasoning through the Ruach Kodesh, he always started calling me, going, you, it's time to grow up. Talk. Let's go. And so I put on my big ski jacket I got for Iceland. The wind's blowing left, right, front. It's like, I don't know, it's like 40 mile an hour wind, worse than this, and it's changing directions. And I'm walking, and as I'm going up there, I start singing my own songs that I wrote to Yahweh, and all of a sudden I started getting peace, and it was like somebody was talking to me. And Aaron, do you think you're going to be able to do it? I don't know, man. I got to at least show up. I'm not a coward. I mean, I am a coward. I got to be honest with you. I don't want to be doing this. And I start laughing as I'm walking to the top. And what he was doing is he was refining me. And then he wants to refine you. Every one of you, he asks us through the word. He gives us, are you ready to trust me? Are you ready? Come here. And we think, and if you do it, the desires of your heart are on the other side of that. And I promise you that the scriptures also say that he who spared not his only son. What won't he give you? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for spending time with us. And helping us grow up. All of us have rode on your shoulders. You've taken care of us so much. You've blessed us and our lives overflow. Thank you for giving us an opportunity to be living sacrifices on those special things. We thank you for confirming them and helping us and taking us by our hand to help us grow up as a father, a desire for their children. And thank you for these words. Do not be fearful. But instead, be ready to confront your fear. This is very important because I'm going to ask you to do things that are going to scare you. So you need to be ready to punch it right in the face. I told you, in this world, you will have trouble. And I need you to start getting ready to kill lions and bears. I was watching David. David was preparing himself. Okay, he's ready. And I need each one of you ready to go and to be sent. So meditate. Meditate on the fears that you're afraid of me calling you to my office in these areas of discipline or whatever it is. But punch it right in the face and report for duty. And we will take on these things together. And I will lift you up. Each one of you should look at the crucible that Abraham did to teach my son that the father would have asked his son to lay down the life. What did they go through? And was it worth it? Now ask yourself, what's on the other side of your mountain? Amen.
Amen.